We're reading from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, from verse 9 to 16. And what we will be doing, we'll be going through the book of Romans. From now on, next week will be, tomorrow will be seen from verse 17 to 25, and then when we are done, we enter chapter 5. So we'll be going through Romans gently to see what God is saying, so that we will not miss anything and have a good understanding of what the scriptures are teaching. So Romans chapter 4 from verse 9 to 16. And the topic of this message this morning is declared righteous before obedience. Declared righteous before obedience. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had still when he was uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also have walked in the steps of faith, which our father Abraham had still while he was uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs of faith, those who are of the law are heirs of faith is made void. Let me take that again. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16 and the last verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the grace you've given to us to even have your word. For many saints through the ages have gone through their Christian life without the scriptures. But today you've given it to us. All that you have to tell us, you've written down. And it's here at our fingertips. Father, we still need you to help us understand these words. Grant us your Holy Spirit so we'll be able to understand. And while we speak to one another, your word will have life in us through your Spirit. This is our prayer. This is our plea. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. And amen. So I said the title of this message is Declared Righteous Before Obedience. Last week we talked about how faith is how righteousness is based on faith. On Sunday, some of you were not here, and that's what we discussed. Let me take us back a little bit to verse 5 of chapter 4, the same chapter we read today. It says, but to him who does not walk but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So this is what we talked about, and this is what we keep talking about today. Religion in itself, all religion that you know, tries to answer one question. And the question is this: how can a person be righteous before God? How can a person be reconciled to God? Because we all have the idea in religion that man has sinned against God. Man has offended God. If there is a God, and there is, who created the world, who made all of us, then he has a law and a standard. So we have all broken the law and the standard of God. But what then does religion try to answer? What's the answer of religion? Something we should know is that there are about 4,000 religions in the world. 4,000, over 4,000 different religions. And they all try to give an answer to how man can be righteous before God. However, all of these 4,000 religions, they give a wrong answer except for one, which is Christianity. And the answer that Christianity gives, that is different from what other religion gives, is that righteousness comes through faith, through believing in God, through trusting in God. While other religions are saying things like, you have to do something, works, you have to do maybe a ritual, you have to sacrifice animals, you have to do fasting and prayer, you have to do one journey to one place and go and touch one sacred stone, you have to, you know, give your children, sacrifice your children, do this, do that. You have to be able to, you know, there is just something you must do, maybe enter a river and stay there for so amount of hours. Several religions give different answers of how to gain forgiveness from God, of how to be righteous before God. But Christianity is the only religion that says all the things you can do, all the animals you can sacrifice, all the offerings you can give, all the tithes you can bring, they cannot earn you righteousness before God. They cannot make God forgive you. And that's why I'm taking us back to last week, and we'll continue. But to him who does not walk, who does not do all these things, but trust God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is accounted for righteousness. It is by believing in God that they are declared righteous. And so this is what we are going to see in our text today. Verse 9 and the first point. It's righteousness by faith. Verse 9 and 10. It says, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while he was uncircumcised. So this story is talking about Abraham. And for us to understand what Paul is talking about, I want us to go back and peek and look at what happened with Abraham and how he was called righteous because of faith while he was still uncircumcised. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, I'll read from verse 1 to 6, and please listen so you understand. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, that is his slave?" Then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring or no child. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them, if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." That is what Paul is saying. Abraham believed when he heard the good news from God, when he heard what God was saying. Abraham was a man, an old man. And right now at this point, he was at the age of 86. He was an old man. Old men don't give birth to children. When a man is already too old, he's walking with a stick, he doesn't give birth to babies anymore. When a woman is already too old, his wife Sarah was old, there is no giving birth to a child for them. But God is telling, to the point that Abraham said this. He said, "My slave Eliezer, who was born in my house, his mother gave birth to him in my house, so he's my slave. This one will be my heir." But God said no. All Abraham could see, the reason he would say his slave has to be his heir to inherit all his property, is because he has looked at himself and he knows that there is no way I can naturally give birth to a child again. I am already old. But God is saying something else. He says, "No, you will have a child." It sounds impossible, doesn't it? But what happens? Abraham believed God. And as he believed God, what does the text say in verse 6? It was credited to him for righteousness. Why? Just because he believed. Just because he believed what he heard God say. So the question of how am I to be righteous before God? It is through belief, it is through faith that righteousness is attained. And even before he was circumcised, Abraham didn't get circumcised till he was the age of 99. He did not bear the mark that the Israelites had, as to show all the world that they are people of Israel. As it is, he was a pagan who God just called from his pagan family. There were no Jews. And he was going to be the first to get circumcised. But he was not even circumcised when he was declared righteous, because he believed in God. He had not begun the obedience. He had not begun to do all those other things. But he was declared righteous. He was declared righteous. Back in our text, it was before he was circumcised. I think more than 10 years. He was 86. If you do the math, he got circumcised in 99. But he was already declared righteous before God. So Abraham was declared righteous by faith, by believing in God. And it's the same thing for us. We used to sing this song, "Father Abraham has many sons," right? We call ourselves children of Abraham. For us to be children of Abraham, to be really children of Abraham, our righteousness must come by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in God, and not by anything we do, not by our works. We are not greater than our father. Abraham, who is called the father of faith, was declared righteous not because of his obedience, but before he was even obedient, he was declared righteous because he believed God. Because he believed God. Let's move on to the next point, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Did you hear that? So it's saying that Abraham, let me read it again, listen carefully, he received the circumcision as a sign. He received this circumcision now as a sign. Before I go on, what does that mean? Even though we are saved and declared righteous, we are declared righteous by believing. Even though Abraham was declared righteous by God just because he believed God, he went on to receive the sign, the circumcision as a sign. What is this to us? When we believe in Christ, when we confess Christ, when we hear the good news from God, when we hear the good news from the Word, when we hear the good news from preaching, and we believe the good news, we do not just stay where we are. We go on and be baptized. We go on in repentance. We go on to bear fruit of repentance. We bear fruit. We are made righteous before God just by believing. Yes. We trust in Him and we are righteous. We trust in Him and we are clean. But what follows is obedience. Our works of obedience, our baptisms, our rituals, I call it ritual, it's called communion, is part of the rituals we do. Baptism is called a ritual. Ritual is not always a bad word, okay? So, the communion we take after the baptism, the coming to church on Sundays, the fellowship, the worship, and all these things we do are a sign that we bear, that tells the whole world that we belong to Christ. Amen. So all the things we are doing, like Abraham, yes, he was justified because of believing in God. That doesn't mean all the rest is not important. He still went on to receive the sign, the circumcision, as a sign and as a seal. So this is the way it is. We believe God and we are declared righteous, and then we enter into obedience of God. We begin to obey everything that God tells us to obey. That being said, let's move on to see what the rest of the text says. And then it says, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was still uncircumcised. He was already righteous by faith before he even started to obey, before he became circumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. There is a message, there is a good news that you must believe for you to be a child of Abraham. Sunday school is wonderful and it teaches us a lot of things. That song we all know. I talked about it just now. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Let's all praise the Lord. But this is what you need to understand. For you to be a true child of Abraham, the text here says, it is all those who believe. There is a good news, you must believe, for you to not be lying when you say you are a child of Abraham. If you are to be a child of Abraham, there is a message you must believe. And that message, you will hear it this morning as we proceed in our text. And so he says, so that he will be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might also be given to them also. So those who believe this message, they have this righteousness that Abraham also received, because he believed God. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So there is this message again about righteousness through faith. We have to believe it. We have to hold this message. We have to become children of Abraham through faith. He is the father of those who believe. When he talks about the circumcised, just so you won't be confused, when he says circumcised and uncircumcised, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. But even the Jews who are circumcised, they can only be true heirs of Abraham if they have faith in this very message I am going to tell us. This message is a wonderful message, and I will tell us, but even the Jews who actually descended from Abraham, who Abraham was their forefather, they have to believe this message if they are to be his true children, because Abraham himself believed that message. So both us, the Gentiles, who are not directly descended from Abraham, and them are depending on wanting to be heirs of Abraham because of the promise God has promised him. We are depending on faith. We are depending on faith. So keep your ears open. Keep your ears open now to hear this message. The message, and I'm going to make it as simple as possible. The message that God has given Abraham to believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the promise of the Savior. Remember, we said this. Abraham was too old, but God promised him a child. Abraham, you will have a child. And Abraham was wondering, how will this happen? But anyways, he believed God. He already knows he's old, but he believed. So there is this child that was promised to Abraham. We know him, don't we? His name is Isaac. Right? And Abraham had Isaac. And God already said this, apart from just promising him the child, he said, it's through your child, the whole world will be blessed. Is it true? Yes, let's open to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis 22, verse 18. It says, in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And he said this thing after a popular story again. Something we all know. I'm sure everybody has heard this story. The story when God says to Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, Isaac. It was after Abraham obeyed. And he went, and we know the story, right? Isaac went and he laid him down. He was about to sacrifice Isaac. And what did God do? He sent the lamb, the ram. And he died in place of Isaac. That was Abraham's only son. Is it? That was his only legitimate son, because Ishmael was already sent away. He was not to be with them anymore. So Abraham, the old man, has only one son left. And God says to him, sacrifice this son that I promised you, you will get, and you got in your old age. And Abraham still believed God. And he went to sacrifice Isaac. But what happened? What happened was, Abraham said he knows that God is able to raise even the dead. He believed God. And he went to sacrifice Isaac, his one and only son. He believed God. Listen to what was happening. This is the message Abraham was getting from God. This is the message we are to get from this place. God himself is going to sacrifice his only son, so that if we believe in him, we also, like Abraham, will be called righteous. Do you understand this? God is painting this picture with Abraham. When he was going to sacrifice Isaac, God says, no, stop. That's enough. I've made it obvious for you. It's now clear for anybody to read and understand that I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Isaac cannot pay for their sins. But this is your only son, Abraham. I'm going to send my only son, Jesus, so that every nation will be blessed by Jesus Christ. Isn't it so? Do you see the promise God made? Afterwards, he said, by this your seed, every nation under the earth will be blessed. Is it by Isaac? No. Who died for the sins of the world? Jesus. So it is by Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, that all the world will be blessed. Jesus descended from Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Esau and Jacob, the children of Isaac, Jacob's 12 sons, Judah. And that's why we call Jesus the Lion of Judah. Judah, the great-great-grandfather of David. And that's why we call Jesus the Son of David. It all goes back to what God was telling Abraham. And Abraham believed, and he became righteous. This is the message that we must believe if we will become righteous. If we will have salvation, if we can get forgiveness from God. All other religions are giving the wrong answer, saying, if I do good enough, if I pray and fast enough. No, it's if I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm righteous. Do you understand? If I believe in Jesus Christ, who paid for my sins, even while I am a sinner, I am unrighteous. Jesus Christ pays for all my sins. If I will only trust in him, if I will only believe in him, if I will only lose confidence in all my righteousness, if I only lose confidence in my tithe, in my offering, in my baptism, in all the things I have done, and only confident in Christ and His cross, I am righteous. Declared righteous before I even obeyed. That is the message. Listen, this is the good news. Abraham heard this, it was good news. And he did not even believe it was too late. Let me give you a lesson. Abraham's name, who knows the meaning of his name? Abraham's, he was called Abram. The meaning of Abram is this, the father of many, but he had no child. His name was father of many, but he had no child. So imagine his life. Maybe as he lived his life, as he was, you know, walking, people would say, what's your name? Abram. Father of many, you have no child. They might mock him or something. But when God gave him the good news, and said, Abraham, yes, you are old, but I will make your children as countless as the stars. What did he do? He believed God. That was his bad news. Listen to you. Listen to me. The bad news for us today is that we are all sinners. Can you count your sins? At least Abraham's age was 99 when he had a child. But your sin is more than 999. It's more than 9 million. You cannot even count your sins, can you? No. But even though your sins are many, even though your age is so many, you are old and weak. Abraham, you are old already. I will give you a son. Even though your sins are many, my son Jesus will wash them all away. That is the promise of the gospel. That is what we are about in Christianity. It's not about you being better than your neighbor, trying to behave better, trying to, you know, be the best person, be good, be a good boy or a good girl. No, it's repent and believe in Jesus Christ and be saved, and all your sins are washed away. There are only two types of people who enter heaven. It is not good people. It is not perfect people. No one is good. We saw this in Romans chapter 3 verse 10 already. There is none good, no, not even one. No one is righteous. No one does good. No one seeks after God. They've all turned away and become worthless. Lies come out from their mouth. Their truth is an open grave. That's the bad news. But what is the good news? That even though no one is righteous, there is another category of people who will enter heaven. Those who are forgiven, who are declared righteous by faith and not because they were without sin. So we need to understand this. We need to see this for our own soul's sake. You are not too young to know this. You are not too young to be saved by faith. Remember that Jesus came for, you know, he said the kingdom of God are for children like these. If you can only believe what you are hearing, if you can only trust that even though you are wrong and you are a sinner, you are disobedient to your parents, you've offended, you fight with your friends, you've caused, Christ pays everything. All I have to do is renounce my sin and believe in Him. I don't have to journey to any country in the West. I don't have to go to Mecca. I don't have to go anywhere and do a pilgrimage or say some prayers or do all these things or sacrifice any animal. I only have to believe in Christ and trust Him, and I am free. Let's go back to our text. And here we see the last point, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it is not of those who trust in the law. It is not of those who are depending on, I am a good person. Listen closely. Heaven is not about, if this brother is good, if I don't curse, if I don't steal, I'll go to heaven. That is not what heaven is about. It is not what heaven is about, and there is no one who is going to enter heaven because of that reason. Nobody. Even Abraham himself. Abraham, our father, was a sinner. He did not enter heaven. Listen, he did not enter heaven because he never sinned. Are you doubting if Abraham was a sinner? Genesis chapter 20, verse 2. And there Abraham said of his wife, she is my sister. That's lies, isn't it? Abraham has a wife and he called her his sister. Genesis 22. So he was not perfect. And so this last text is telling us that no. It's not of the law. It's not of those who use the law or those who are good enough. But it's of those who have faith. Listen to why, some reasons why it can't be of those who keep the law. In Galatians 2, verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died in vain. If we think that if we are good people, God will give us heaven, then he sent Jesus Christ to die for nothing. There is no use. He should have just stayed up there in heaven if we can be good enough. Do you understand? We cannot be good enough. We cannot be righteous enough. And that is why Christ had to die for us. So let me give you this warning. Stop thinking. Stop trying. Stop making the attempt. In fact, stop having the idea in your mind that you will go to heaven if you are just good enough the moment you die. You might be having this thought, because I used to have this thought too when I was younger. Well, it's all about live my life, but if I'm about to die, if I just say, God, forgive me, I'll enter. Or if I'm just good enough, if I'm not stealing, I'm not lying, when I die, I'll go to heaven. That's not true at all. I've already lied. You have already lied. We have all lied. We have all sinned against God. And if that was possible, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. But that's not possible. And that's why he died for our sins. And so the warning is this. In Galatians, same Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, you have fallen from the grace. You have been estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Verse 5, for we, through the Spirit, eagerly await for the hope of righteousness, which is by faith. So if you are trying to get to heaven by being good, you have fallen from grace. And you and Christ, Christ doesn't know you, and you don't know him. And Abraham is not your father. And anytime you sing Father Abraham, you are lying. But if you are coming by faith in Christ, by trusting in Christ, by believing in him, then you will be declared righteous. Righteous. Completely righteous. Even before obedience, even before you get baptized, even before you get into communion, you are declared righteous. One last picture I want to present to you before we close. The thief on the cross. I want to ask these questions and answer them in your mind. The thief on the cross, was he baptized? No, he wasn't. Was he taking communion? Did he give tithes, offerings? Did he do miracles? Did he go out and preach? Did he do evangelism? No. Did he do fasting and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ? No. Did he give money to the poor? No. Did he go back and pay all the people he stole from? No. What did he do that he was with Jesus Christ in paradise that day? He believed in him. I believe you are the Son of God. Remember me in your kingdom. That is all. That is it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's the same way we can be heirs of Abraham. He was declared the child of Abraham the moment he believed in Christ. And so it's the same with us. Understand who we are. We are nothing, no better than the thief on the cross. If we can only believe in Christ and say, yes, I am guilty of all the crimes I am being charged of. I am guilty of breaking all your law, O God. But I believe you. You died for my sins. Have mercy on me. It is this kind of people who will see heaven in the end. Home at last. That day, you will be with him in paradise. That day, you are declared righteous. That day, all your sins are forgiven. That day, you are a new man. That day, you can sing Father Abraham and all heaven will join you and say, yes, you are one of us. You are a child of Abraham. It is Jesus Christ who is the end of everything. The promise is heaven for all those who believe. May God bless us all. May God help us to understand. May God open our eyes and our hearts to have this Christ, so that we truly be children of Abraham, we truly have life, eternal life, for his name's sake and for his glory alone. Amen. So we thank you, Father, for this clear word. Thank you because of your promise. We thank you because of your grace and mercy and the sacrifice you gave on behalf of us. Grant us all faith, O God, to believe in you. Let no one hear this good news and go back the same. But let us all be heirs of Abraham through faith in Christ. Let us all be partakers of the inheritance which is in Christ. Eternal life forever. Heaven, where we will sing Hosanna, Hallelujah to your name, forever and ever with joy. Joy with no season, no pain, with all feasting and all full glory. Answer our prayers, O God. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.